The Pittsburgh Steelers did it. They beat the Browns, sweeping the Browns, mind you, at Heinz Field. They give Ben Roethlisberger the proper send-off to his last ever home game there in a spectacular way. I was there to see all of it. I'm Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're going to break down not just Ben's big send-off, but TJ Watt going berserk. The Steelers game plan that got them this win. Najee Harris going off in this game and all showing the Steelers still have life in the playoff race and highlighting just how crazy it is that they're at this part of the season with the way that their season has gone. I'm Chris Carter, Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Hit the like button on YouTube. If you're watching this video, hit the subscribe button to get all our content on there every Monday through Friday. Steelers fans, it's Victory Tuesday. They have still, I think this is 20 Monday night home football games that they've won in a row now. And Ben Roethlisberger has been part of a lot of them. The Steelers win 26-14 over the Cleveland Browns in Week 17 at Heinz Field in what was ultimately Ben Roethlisberger's last game at Heinz Field as a Pittsburgh Steeler. It's crazy the way they won this game. It was very much a defining, for me, it was a defining picture of who the Steelers are when they have to gut out those crazy, stupid wins. I said this was coming. I said when I was doing my prediction with Wes Euler on the Monday show, talking about how this is going to be wacky, it's going to be stupid, there's going to be big defensive plays, but the Steelers are going to find a way to win, and they're going to need to rely on their young playmakers. And what did they do? They relied on the young playmakers. Look at this game. Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, the atmosphere for this was phenomenal. If you couldn't tell on TV, which I'm pretty sure you could, but some people, they watch it with the sound down because they don't want to hear the announcers. Let me tell you, from before the game, There was let's go Ben chants. During the game, there was let's go Ben chants. And then when the Steelers sealed the win, there was thank you Ben chants. And then so much cheering for him to get out there. When the Steelers get a pick at the end of the game to let him go back out and kneel the clock out and get the final bit of love that he can from the Steelers fans on the field. And Najee Harris hugs him as he takes that final knee. And then he goes to the bench and he talks to reporters. You can see he's tearing up, the emotions getting to him. And then he sits down on the bench, the same bench that he sat down on last year with Marquise Pouncey after he lost to the Browns. And he's just taking it all in. And the fans stay there and they're all chanting, thank you, Ben. They're high-fiving him. He's going around the stadium. Then he gets to walk into the tunnel holding hands with his children and his wife. It was a beautiful scene for Ben Roethlisberger. One of the best send-offs I've ever seen. Granted, I'm not some connoisseur in send-offs. I watched Kobe Bryant and a bunch of other guys, but like this was well orchestrated by the Steelers. They made sure that he had plenty of time on the field. Art Rooney talked to him when he was doing his lap. There was just so much great stuff in that moment. I felt like it was an honor to be there to see such a historic sports moment for the city that I grew up in, for the guy who's the franchise quarterback for them for 18 years. Crazy that how that is. But let's get to the actual game, because the emotion of that, you got that picture, right? But you probably want to hear how the Steelers swept the Browns. By the way, those same Browns that were nameless gray faces, and the Browns is the Browns. Yes, those Browns. They got clapped in this game, 26-14. And it's funny, Big Ben, I put him in the title because this night was about him. By the way, I'm like recording this well after I got home after the game, so that's why I didn't go up immediately, but we got it up as fast as we can here for the Locked On Steelers podcast. But Ben throws 46 passes, completes 24 of them for 123 yards. What is that? How do you win a football game that way? Don't ask me. Ask Mike Tomlin, because he did that. And this team found a way to just gut out wins. And I said they needed to go to the young playmakers. What did they do? Najee Harris, 28 carries, 188 yards, and a touchdown. The touchdown that ended up sealing it. And he even said, yeah, I wanted to get him back on the field. But that was just such a way because he wanted to make sure the win was secured. You saw the way that he finished that game out. The Browns had no answer for him. None. He was just trucking through, running guys over. The meanest stiff on MJ Stewart was just felt so bad for that guy afterwards. You're like, oh my goodness, send him into another dimension. Najee Harris, he's going to be special. And I think he showed you in a week where they put in J.C. Hasenauer at center. They still have a fifth string left guard playing right now with John LeGlue. The offensive line has not been good this year. And they were better in this game. They still weren't great, but they were better in this game. But you saw Najee Harris just making guy after guy miss, just like plowing through, charging forward. And you see, man, that's why they drafted that guy. They don't win this game without him. He's phenomenal. And they don't win this game without a lot of people. There's especially T.J. Watt. Four sacks in this game. Four sacks in this game. He is now has 21 and a half this season. That's one sack shy of Michael Strahan's record, and they're playing the Ravens next week. T.J. Watt, Defensive Player of the Year. We'll get to that in just a second here on the Locked On Steelers podcast because I have so much to talk about this game and especially how T.J. Watt played. But first, I got to talk to you guys about GetUpside. Hey, Steelers fans, this is Chris Carter with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called GetUpside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon off on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay at full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash gets added right to your account. You can cash out at any time to your bank account, PayPal, or use an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. And again, that's on the GetUpside app. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're keeping it rolling here. Looking at this game, I still don't know how the Steelers function as an offense sometimes, man. 123 passing yards for Ben Roethlisberger. The highest receiver in this game in yardage was Ray McCloud with 35 yards on four receptions of 10 targets. What is real life there? Deontay Johnson, 31 yards and a touchdown on 8 catches and 15 yards. Pat Freiermuth, 22 yards on 5 catches. This was just a game. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, this is why he knows that this is it. Because you see, he just doesn't have it as much anymore. He can't see the field as well. He can't maneuver as well. He can't get the ball out as much as you want. And there's times like you see he's trying to get the ball there. It's sometimes he skips a quick out pass. He does this, he does that. And it's okay to admit, look, sometimes that's on Ben, but it's just like, you know, he's limited at this point. That's what it is. But he still goes out there and gives you everything he has, which you saw all game long, which is, again, why Steelers fans love that guy so much with the way that they honored him in that send-off. But enough about the send-off. Let's get back to the game and what I was talking about. The Steelers' outside linebackers, edge rushers, whatever you want to call them, played phenomenal in this game. You had Alex Highsmith with 7 tackles and 2 sacks in this game. I believe he had 3 tackles for loss. He's playing phenomenal. If my count is correct, he should have at least one more run stuff. Maybe he probably has more, but either way, he should be in fourth place for most run stuffs by edge rushers in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. He's playing phenomenal. I'll take it back. I'm sorry. That's my line for T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt's playing phenomenal. Alex Highsmith is progressing very well. Still has a lot to grow. He still has to, you know, kind of, you know, learn to close out plays a little bit better, maintain outside leverage, or, you know, maintain the edge sometimes to seal plays back inside. He still has cleaning up to do, but he's a second-year, third-round draft pick, and he's playing very well. He's showing why the Steelers wanted to put faith in him and let him play this year. Alex Highsmith is going to be special. I'm telling you that right now. But T.J. Watt is special right now. 4 sacks in this game. Just terrorizing Baker Mayfield. And by the way, Baker Mayfield, I mean, 16 completions on 38 attempts for 185 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions. T.J. Watt was just everywhere terrorizing this man. The Steelers defense had a really good game plan. They came out in man coverage for a lot of the night. There were sometimes they got caught in zone. And most of those times was when they went when the Browns went no huddle and they got some matchup situations. They were like, all right, we're just going to stick it in zone and hope we can wait this out. But the game plan in general was to say, hey, Baker, beat us with your arm down the field. And there were a couple times he had some good throws. But by and large, when you force Baker Mayfield to have to be consistent in the game, it's going to be a problem for him. Because you also had with T.J. Watt, I believe he had two swats in this game. Yes, he had two swats in this game. Cam Hayward had two swats in this game. Akella Witherspoon, I mean, I get if you're still mad about a fifth-round pick next year, but the guy has three interceptions now. He had another interception in this game that was really big for the Steelers. He had two more pass breakups in the game. He's looking like he's a guy that could start for the Steelers next year if they wanted to bring him back. Cam Hayward gets the sack and does the Naruto run. That was too funny when he put his hands back and he was like, and I was like, all right, Cam, you're feeling it, buddy. But hey, the Steelers defense was feeling it. And I'll also point out other guys that stepped up in this game because the Steelers were down to Robert Spillane and Marcus Allen as their linebackers. I was sitting there wondering, man, should I pick against them? Because how can they stop the run without their line, without their starting linebackers? You know what happened? Defensive line stepped up. They made it not matter that much. Particularly Montrevious Adams and Isaiah Loudermilk. Loudermilk, who has continued to progress this year, showing why the Steelers traded up in the fifth round to get him in the first place. He is showing, hey, I'm getting there. And Carl Dunbar said when they drafted him, like, look, he has the build of Cam Hayward. He's his height, he's his size. He just needs to get the nasty. And he has the framework that we like. They're developing him into something. He might be a guy that might be like the next like type of Brett Keisel dude that they drafted really late and that who develops into a reliable defensive lineman for years to come. We're getting way ahead of ourselves there, but he's playing at that kind of level that you can wonder that. Montrevious Adams came into this team mid-season, late season even, off of a practice squad and has been fighting tooth and nail to be a contributor to the Steelers' defense. Even Derek Tuska, who had another sack in this game, he's playing hard. This defense put together a really solid game plan and executed it in a must-win game situation. That was, to me, this was a very good sign that the Steelers do have young players that get what it means to win in big games. People who are naysayers out there might say, oh, they lost to the Chiefs last week. Yep, they did. The Chiefs are a much better team. They have a much better quarterback. They have a quarterback who's in his prime, who might turn out to be the best quarterback that we've ever seen. And they have a ton of weapons around him. And they're in a situation where they are at a peak right now that the Steelers just aren't. The Steelers are very much in a rebuilding year. We knew that. But the fact that the Steelers are out here scraping together another non-losing season for Mike Tomlin at 8-7-1. The worst they could do now is 8-8-1. That's 15 straight years of no losing seasons. We're going to talk about Mike Tomlin in the third segment more, because I want to talk more about the game planning that went into this. But again, we're talking about the young playmakers. How about J.C. Hasenauer stepping in at center for Kendrick Green after all the struggles that guy's been through? And you know, I'm a person, if you listen to the Locked On Steelers podcast regularly, you know me, I'm not a person that dooms a guy and says he can never improve. I always say like, you know, hey, he's having a rough day. He has to get better. But sometimes you need to try something else, at least temporarily. And I think that's where the Steelers are just with Kendrick Green. You're not making basic blocks. You're not doing the bare fundamentals that the position requires. And part of the problem was that the Steelers were hurt up at the center position. J.C. Hasenauer was hurt. B.J. Finney was hurt. You know, their two backups were out of commission. And their left guard position was also looking rough. But J.C. Hasenauer came out there and you saw the Steelers offensive line put together maybe its most complete performance of the season. And I do believe the Steelers gave up, what, 2 sacks in this game, both to Jadeveon Clowney? Okay. But Myles Garrett, not a problem. 1 tackle. Defensive MVP needs to go to T.J. Watt. Myles Garrett was really quiet in this game. And I said this months ago. I think this has to be the year that TJ, the way that TJ was playing, and he is continuing to play that way. He has to play one more game to finish it out. If he takes the sack record, if they don't give it to him, it's a crime. And as it is, if they don't give it to him, it's a crime, because you see the impact that he brings to a game. And I said, I was going at it. If you listen to the Locked On NFL podcast 2 weeks ago, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, I got into it with your boy Q, and like in a friendly conversation, not like anyway, like we take it personally, but I got into it with your boy Q, who hosts Locked On Raiders, and he was telling me he feels Myles Garrett's the defensive player of the year. And I was telling him, man, Myles Garrett got less sacks, but more games played, less tackles, less forced fumbles, less all the things. And TJ Watt's much more impactful in games. And I said, if he breaks the sack record, will you admit it? He's like, all right, I'll admit if he does. Well, he's 1 sack from tying it. And he's got 1 game to go. But again, look at the young players the Steelers will have on this roster for years to come. And that's why I wanted to talk about the young players. Pat Freiermuth, only 5 catches for 22 yards. That's not spectacular. But you saw the effort that he was putting in there. When he caught the ball, the Browns were like, okay, we got to stop that guy. Najee Harris, what more can be said about that guy with the way that he played in this game? I mean, even J.C. Hasenauer, as a guy, I was like, you know what? I might bring that guy back next year, even if you go get Tyler Lindenbaum or sign a center in free agency. You know what? It's like, hey, you came up big in a late season game. We want to keep you around. And you see the effort from these young guys to finish the season strong, to keep playoff hopes alive. This was very much a playoff game for the Steelers, because if they lose, they're out. The Browns were already out because of their circumstances. But if the Steelers lost, they would have been out heading into Week 17, making that a meaningless game against the Ravens. And who knows? It still might be. The Steelers still need the Jaguars to beat the Colts and for the Raiders and the Chargers to not tie. Now, of course, I don't think that's going to end in a tie, but I do think that it's really tall to ask the Jaguars to beat the Colts with the way that the Jaguars have played the season. But I will point out, Jaguars haven't lost to the Colts in Jacksonville since 2014, so crazier things have happened. But the Steelers have put themselves in the position to make it matter next week, and I think that's huge for a lot of the young guys. And this is why I say, is when people say, Chris, shouldn't they tank? Because you want the better draft position. This is why I say all the time, like, you don't want that. I mean, draft position is cool, but you got a lot of young guys on this team that you're building with that you need to get they need this experience to understand what it's like to play in this kind of atmosphere, to be in these tough moments, because they hold on to this. They're like, man, wow. Like imagine a Najee Harris. Imagine Pat Freiermuth, Trey Norwood, Isaiah Loudermilk. All rookies who had major impacts on this game. Even Dan Moore Jr., who you didn't call his name much this game, which means he probably had a good one. All those rookies played significant roles in this game. And they got to see how Ben Roethlisberger gets treated at the end of his career. Now, you know, they're not going to get that treatment because they're not a quarterback. They're not going to play 18 years for the Steelers. But they get to see, this is what Steeler Nation is? This is what playing in games that matter in December or January, excuse me, is? We like this feeling. Let's work harder to get this feeling in the near future. That's why you play to win these games. And that's why it's important to make sure that you always have a chance at either a winning record or a non-lose record. Since you're at the end of the season, you have a shot. You have a chance to compete. And Mike Tomlin continues to do that for his team. I want to talk more about Mike Tomlin, the coaching scheme in this game, and more outlooks just on the Steelers and the Browns taking a step back there, because I've been more focused on players so far, but I want to talk a little bit about the rivalry of Steelers versus Browns in a little bit here. We'll do that in a sec here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, I got to talk to you guys about betonline.ag. BetOnline has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues its march to the playoffs, and we are waiting the national championship in college football. BetOnline has remained your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on, and you'll receive that 50% welcome bonus. From basketball to football to NHL to boxing to UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. And BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We are continuing our show here on Victory Tuesday for Steelers fans after such a big win over the Browns. Before I get to Mike Tomlin, let's talk about how good this probably feels for Steelers fans. Because I know last year around this time, you was feeling really salty. And it was warranted. It was a warranted salty feeling. The team that the Steelers have owned for, if you're a fan my age, I'm 32 years old, the Steelers have owned the Browns for most of my life. If you've been watching since Ben Roethlisberger has he still owns the Browns. And then you saw the Browns beat the Steelers in Heinz Field in the playoffs last year. You saw Ben kind of, you know, coming to tears, sitting there next to Pouncey on the bench, thinking this can't be it. And that was a tough pill to swallow last year. But here you are, a year later, in front of a packed Heinz Field, and Ben Roethlisberger crying for a different reason at the end of this game. Just taking in the emotions of all the great memories he's had at Heinz Field in front of packed fans, going crazy, twirling the towels, doing Renegade. By the way, Renegade was phenomenal again this week. Didn't get a turnover, but a three and out that pushed him all the way back and gave the Steelers great field position to help lock up the win. But Ben Roethlisberger getting that. That was a heck of a way to get some get back on the Browns. And even though the Browns were already eliminated, if a few things had gone right, the Browns would have still had a shot going into this game. They were already eliminated going in. But still, you locked the Browns into a losing season. In a year, this was their Super Bowl season. This was the year that the Browns were supposed to take off. And I told the AFC Locked On AFC North podcasters when we did our preseason show, I'm like, I ain't feeling the Browns. I said they'd be 9-8 this year. I was wrong. I was told I was crazy for saying they were going to be 9-8. I was said, there's no way they'll regress. They're right. I was wrong. They weren't going to be 9-8. They're worse. But that's another story. The bottom line is that the Steelers are fighting through these games. They still have a shot at the playoffs. They still have a shot at a winning record by beating the Ravens next week. And to me, this win embodies a lot of what the Steelers have been in the Mike Tomlin era. When everything's going wrong in certain parts of the team, when you don't got that kind of talent, the Steelers find weird ways to win because they gut things out. They focus on certain keys that they know, hey, we can win this matchup. If we win this matchup to the nth degree, we're going to give ourselves a really good chance to win. That's what the Steelers were doing in the mid-2010s when the defense was transitioning and they needed to figure out how to, re-amplify the defense. That's why you saw Ben Roethlisberger and that offense. They invested so much in the offensive line. They got him Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Martavis Bryant, Heath Miller, and then all the other guys they added into that mix. That's why they kept loading up on offense. They said, look, we're not going to be able to stop guys a lot, so we're gonna have a phenomenal offense. But that's also when people say, oh, the Steelers had the best roster in the NFL. Like, yeah, it was really good on offense, sketchy on defense with a lot of positions. But again, they found ways to be competitive and to win in a lot of those seasons, in all those seasons, really. I mean, they've never had a losing season. And that's a lot of what Mike Tomlin brings is that, look, if we, no matter, you send me out there with, just a run defense and, the ability to run the ball occasionally, we're going to find a way to key in on that and win. And this game, the Steelers, they knew coming to this game, like, look, man, our offense has not been phenomenal. The run defense has not been good. Even though the run defense ended up being good. By the way, in the last 10 games, the Steelers have allowed 8 to 8 of those 10 teams, that they've played in their last 10 games to get 100 yards rushing or more. You know what those two games were they didn't allow 100 yards in? You guessed it. Both of them were the Cleveland Browns games. Crazy. By the way, the Browns going into tonight had the fifth most rushing yards in the NFL. Wild. But that's another story. What I'm getting at here with Mike Tomlin is this is what they try to do. And when you look at what the Steelers want, they you know, it's like, hey, we may not have the full complement of a secondary, but we have the people to take away this one guy to force you to beat us with someone else. That's what they try to do with the Chiefs a week ago. That you saw Tyreek Hill. He only had two catches for 19 yards. The problem is Patrick Mahomes can beat you with Byron Pringle and whoever else that he has in his arsenal. But the Steelers are going to try to take things away. They try to take away Nick Chubb away. Now, Nick Chubb still had, 58 yards, but on 12 carries. And they wanted, and they said, we're going to go in man. We're going to force Baker to beat us. Baker didn't beat you. He had a couple touchdowns, but he also threw a couple picks. And you saw the run defense really chime in and figure out a way to win those matchups. Again, Isaiah Loudermilk, Alex Highsmith, Montrevious Adams, Cam Hayward. Terrell Evans with 5 tackles. Robert Spillane, really good against the run, but as you saw, not so good against the pass. That's why he hasn't been out there. But this is a game where they didn't have Devin Bush. They didn't have Joe Schobert. They still don't have Tyson Lulu or Stephon Tuitt. They were short man there, and they still found a way to win up front. Heck, Trey Norwood got an interception at the end there. This is a team that they need to win ugly. That's who they are right now. They're not run up the score, do all the things and score all the points and be fanciful and get walk away victorious. In fact, this is the first game this season where they've won by multiple possessions. Think about that, by the way. How crazy is that? They've been eking out win after win by single possessions, last second victories. And technically this kind of was a one possession win because, if Najee Harris just falls down after he gets that first down, they can run out the clock, but he wanted to finish it and get the touchdown and lock it up. That's neither here nor there. But again, the score's the score. The Steelers did that for themselves. But this is what Mike Tomlin gives you, and this is why he's never had a losing season. And for those out there that want to say, oh, non-losing seasons don't matter, it's all about the playoff wins. He only has 3 playoff wins in the last 10 years, and you're correct in saying that. But if you're using that to negate his regular season wins because you're saying playoff wins matter more than those, well, then you also have to use the logic that says, well, then Super Bowl wins matter more than playoff wins because that's what you're ultimately trying to get to, right? That's your whole point is, well, the regular season doesn't matter because the playoffs matter. Well, the playoffs matter because the Super Bowl matters. And who's the only – how many active coaches have more Super Bowl wins than Mike Tomlin? I believe just one, Bill Belichick, with 6. So – does every coach stick? Does every coach not have that? And again, you're not talking about like a bunch of brand new coaches. We're talking about Andy Reid, who's been around since long before Mike Tomlin was a head coach. We're talking about Pete Carroll. We're talking about Sean Payton. We're talking about a lot of guys that have been in the NFL. Mike McCarthy. John Harbaugh. Guys who have been, staples of franchises. And again, look at Ben Roethlisberger. I've heard a lot of Ben Roethlisberger's career has been wasted, because they only got 2 Super Bowls with him. Aren't there like only 4 more quarterbacks in NFL history with more Super Bowl wins? What are we doing? What are we doing? The bottom line is when people bring up the non-losing season things and people try to say that stat doesn't matter, that's purely out of hate for Tomlin for whatever reason that you don't like him because, and maybe you're spoiled, maybe you don't understand what it's like to root for a franchise that goes through true downs, not just one season of 8-8 or 2 seasons of 8-8 and bouncing back, but I mean true falling to the pit of despair, having top 10 picks for like a decade and not getting anything from them and turning your wheel, when oh when are we going to return to relevance? Pittsburgh goes through that with the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's what the Pirates have been through, and that's that kind of thing. But look at the Jets. Look at the Lions. Look at organizations. I mean, even the Browns. This is the first time we've seen the Browns be, everyone was kind of, they've been trying to hop on the bandwagon and hype up the Browns. But the truth is look at the organization. And part of this win for the Steelers is also on the Browns. Game plan. How do you not hand Nick Chubb the ball more than 12 times in this game. I don't understand it. And then Mike Tomlin even said after the game, is like, yeah, we kept running the ball because they kept two deep safeties for most of the game. What are you doing that for? Ben Roethlisberger is a short passing quarterback, and Najee Harris is their best weapon on offense. So that's a big poof from Kevin Stefanski, who was everyone's favorite coach last year. But again, Mike Tomlin, he's not a perfect coach. He makes plenty of X's and O's mistakes. He makes those in-game decision mistakes where you're like, man, I disagree with the way that with this time management. I disagree with kicking the field goal here. Sure, there's times you can disagree with that, but he doesn't lose his teams. And I hear it all the time whenever they lose a game, and I'll hear, oh, he's lost this team. Look, Chris, and people at Steelers fans, they get so down in one moment. And I'm like, guys, you got to look at the big picture here. They're competitive every season. Every season, they got a chance to make the playoffs. A lot of times what determines it, can they be healthy? Are the guys that they depended on to carry the roster that year that they paid the most money to in their salary cap, or the guys that are the corner pieces of those rosters, are they available? And you look at a lot of those losses in the playoffs, they were missing. Oftentimes, they're missing those key pieces. And that's not an excuse. It's just a reality. But this was a rebuilding year. With an aged quarterback, most times if you're rebuilding, you got a cheap quarterback or a young quarterback, and you can invest in free agency and try to build up different parts of your team so that you have some more strong points and let your quarterback be a non-factor in games and more of a manager. And let's face it, Ben more of a manager this year, a manager who's come up in the clutch more than a few times for you, but still a manager. He's not going to throw 300 yards and three touchdowns every week for you. But when you find ways to win like that without that main quarterback, and you find ways to piece things together in a year where you didn't really put a whole lot into your offensive line because you're saving, you remember the $10 million I didn't use this year that goes to next year. That's a new rule for this year because of COVID-19 and all that the NFL teams went through this year. You invested in playmakers to get your offense, young playmakers like Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth. Your defensive line got hurt up. You couldn't pay too much to reinvest in the depth behind them. Your linebacker situation was a bit barren. And you did all that, and here you are sitting with a chance in week 18 to make the playoffs. That is what the Steelers are about, is fighting to get those chances. And in years where they have a better roster, they'd have a better record. This just wasn't one of those years. But it's still a chance that with all those things I just said, that they could be in the playoffs and have a shot in a wild card weekend. And I really think that when people talk about Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin, I think they've been a heck of a duo. If you remember I believe it was 2016, when the Broncos came to town, maybe wrong with my year there, it might be 2017. But point being, the Broncos came to town, they had the best defense in the world, and Ben Roethlisberger was caught on camera asking Mike Tomlin, he's like, if we win the toss, you want the ball or you want to kick it? He's like, I want the ball. And Ben's like, they have the number one defense in the world. He's like, and Mike Tomlin says, I got you. And Ben Roethlisberger led a huge comeback in that game that got the Steelers back and won a huge game that season. But that's something that Mike Tomlin does. Before anything else, he's a motivator. He's a guy that gets guys up. And I made my Friday show about why Mike Tomlin isn't the problem with the Steelers. It's just the situation that their roster was in this year. They couldn't, the things that they were committed to, especially Ben's contract, they had to find a way to work around that. And for the most part, they have, because they're competing for the playoffs. And they're definitely not going to be the last place team in the AFC North. In fact, it's going to be the Browns. I think they've been it the majority of the time since the AFC North has been alive. But bottom line, Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, TJ Watt, they all deserve pats in the back, including even the little guys like Isaiah Loudermilk, Martavis Adams. This was a heck of an effort and a heck of a win. They got to get ready up. And TJ Watt talked about after the game. He's like, we're getting more. Like, we don't get time to worry about that. And Mike Tomlin said the same thing. Press conference is at noon tomorrow. Well, today, if you're watching it on Tuesday, It is Tuesday. I'm recording on Tuesday. It's late. It's like 3 a.m. What am I doing? Anyways, I'm Chris Carr of the Locked On Steelers podcast. I could keep talking about this win forever, but I hope that you all appreciated our late night show here. You can find the Locked On Steelers podcast, as always, on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Hit the like button on our YouTube video if you're watching this. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily content and sometimes we'll put up a quick response or a quick video here and there too. So if you ever want to see that, check out our YouTube channel. Also, if you're really enjoying our show, go on Apple Podcasts, find Locked On Steelers, rate us 5 stars with a positive comment. That stuff really helps us out. And it really gets us going. Also, when you do that, when you give us the 5-star, the positive comment, you get a shout at the end of the show. Just like this person whose name is Stereo Dreams says, "Duck, duck." Obviously, a joke there because Tony Serino loves him some Devlin Hodges. But he says, "We have a fantastic insight and a fun rabbit hole conversations." Thank you so much for your review, Stereo Dreams, for your 5-star review. If you want your shout out, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We thank all those people who do that, who help us out. It really means the world to us. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, for a Tony Wednesday, because Tony Serino will be on the show. We're going to make sure that happens. I want to get his thought, because he'll have just have filmed AFC North talk by that time, and that means he's going to be talking smack to his boy, who's a Browns fan, on that show. So it's going to be a fun one on Locked On Steelers. Steeler Nation, enjoy your Victory Tuesday. It's a phenomenal one. You get to enjoy Ben Roethlisberger for one more game at least, and I suggest you do, because he's had a heck of a career, and that was a heck of a send-off. Chris Carter from Locked On Steelers podcast. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @CarterCritiques. We'll be back in New Year's on your screens very soon.